Cheap Trick on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. And we're going to reach our sticky webbed fingers out across the Ohio Plains to Cleveland, where we have a lot of good friends, and that would include Gilly, the former and current, I don't know if it's former, is it former or current?
Former.
The former host of The Gilly Show, named after the host himself, whose name is Gilly, formerly aired for how long?
Well, I started over there in 1993 doing a show with a couple other people and got my own show in June of 96.
And that's on WERE in 1300 in Cleveland, Ohio.
Right.
Doing overnight like we're doing right now.
Yeah, it was Sunday nights from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
And does WERE have like a cute mascot or a cute name or anything?
Nah.
Like We Were Good Radio or...
Yeah, well, that's what it ought to be.
Before we fired the Gilly.
Yeah, well, but I started out over there, and everything went along fine. I took a time slot where they were airing nothing but the video feed for CNN News.
Ew.
I said, give me the absolute worst time slot you got, and I'll see if I can turn it around.
And did you?
And within two books, I had a 3.8 share.
And between two more books after that?
Well, I was only on for three books.
Oh.
But, yeah, the books are 3 months long. I started another show called Beer Talk on Saturday nights with one of my sponsors, and within two books, that went to a 4.5 share on a Saturday night from 11 to 2.
That's not bad in Cleveland when you're working against, you got Art Bell on one of those stations up there, so all the UFO people are listening to that.
Yeah, actually, on Sunday nights, the station here at 1100, they were airing ESPN Sports Feed. So I guess I didn't have a lot of competition on Sunday nights.
Okay, so Bell's not on Sunday nights.
So you're saying ESPN Sports Feed is a horrible radio?
I don't know. I just think that I could probably get better ratings than that.
Work with us a little bit. Are you saying that the ESPN radio show is just some of the worst radio you've ever heard?
Absolutely.
Man, anything could be better than that, couldn't it?
Absolutely. If they were putting that over there. J-Cord, take me away. They just bought 1100.
Yeah, they're buying up everything. Well, anyway, but they're not going to buy the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, at least not in this lifetime.
All right. So everything was going along fine, and I found out, well, what happened was when Allen Ginsberg passed away early in April, I decided I'd test the Safe Harbor policy and do a tribute to Allen Ginsberg by reading a portion of Howl.
Oh, that's a great poem.
It is, and it was written in 1955.
It's classic American art, just like Leonard Bernstein and Aaron Copland and Jerry Lewis.
And it is, lady, and it's not obscenity. Because it is considered literature with artistic merit.
And you prescribed that with, it's not obscenity because you were indeed fired for reading this thing?
Well, they claim that station policy was that we were told we couldn't say the seven dirty words or use any racial slurs. And I said, well, now, wait a minute. I said, my board operator did not push the button. And we had a big, long discussion before I read this poem. My program starts at 11. I had an expert down on Safe Harbor policy from the local college radio station, WCSB. We discussed Safe Harbor policy for an hour.
What is that? Explain that to Joe Bag of Donuts out there. What the heck do you mean by Safe Harbor policy?
Okay, what Safe Harbor is the FCC says that between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., you may air indecent but not obscene material. So whereas the F word, say, would be considered obscene, if it's in Allen Ginsberg's Howl, it is considered indecent.
Can you say the word penis and the word vagina in the same sentence?
Actually, I think you can say them 24 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
In fact, I thought it was unusual that I was fired by the same manager that on the FM side airs the Howard Stern show every morning.
Oh, hey there.
You know, and I never used the word vagina on the air, except I just did now. But, you know, as a general rule, I'm not a potty mouth. I don't go around swearing. This
now, what kind of radio station is this? I mean, how do we know that maybe you weren't just hogging all the free pizza and they wanted you out of there anyway, and they were just looking for an excuse?
That could be.
I mean, are you a pill?
Well, now, the deal was that they never really had too many interesting hosts on their shows, so they never got any complaints of any kind about any shows except for mine.
What kind of a station is it?
Regular 5,000-watt AM radio station.
Is it 1,300 or 1,100?
1,300.
1,300.
Yeah, 1,100 is that big J-Core station, so 1,300, what kind of stuff are you guys airing besides Howard Stern?
Well, that would be on the FM side, but on the AM side, they have... Oh, politics, gardening shows, you know, medical programs, that sort of
Bruce
thing.
Bruce Williams?
Pretty blah stuff. Pardon?
Bruce Williams?
No, G. Gordon Liddy. Oh,
now, G. Gordon Liddy will incense people.
Well,
he's controversial.
And I had a higher share than G. Gordon Liddy did.
Well, good for you.
I mean, I pulled the best ratings on as far as share-wise anytime, day or night, even during the week.
Now, before we get into this poem thing,
sure.
Don't you think that the Arbitrons are a scam in the first place anyway? I mean, you're bragging about your ratings like you really delivered the books, but between you and me, we're both radio guys.
Right.
Let's break this down for Joe Bag of Donuts. The Arbitrons are nothing but a scam so that radio stations can raise their advertising revenue rates, isn't it not?
Well, it's an industry standard, just like the Nielsen ratings.
But do you think it's a ripoff? Do you think that there's a lot of room for error in their rating system?
Well, sure.
They never give you the margin of error at the bottom of the Arbitrons.
But you have to have something to rate. The industry has to have something to rate it by, like, you know, the Nielsen ratings rate TV. I mean, if there's nothing else to hold it up against, I guess that's the standard.
Well, we start rating programs on quality of broadcasting and how many laughs per minute.
But everything has to be like number one, number one, number one. When if you're getting, you know, a 4.8 percentage a share, basically.
Right.
And you have a margin of error of 0.7 or maybe even 1, which it probably would be. It probably would be bigger than that because the population that they survey is so small that the margin of error would probably be huge. It'd probably be about a 2. And if you get a 0.5 bump or dip in your ratings, it's statistically insignificant. You don't really know if you got a bump or dip, but then your salespeople will go out and say, oh my gosh, look, the ratings have jumped 20%, and go crazy and charge more for the ads.
Yeah, I've heard some exaggeration going on as far as, I was told, oh, go ahead and tell people you have 20,000 listeners. Like, well, you know, do I? Well, I don't know. That sounds good.
It does sound good.
So maybe they should be arbitrary ratings.
So what did you do besides read poems on your show?
Yeah, what was the Gilly Show all about?
Oh, it's pretty much just a free-form kind of a program. I came from college radio. I was over there for a number of years, and I started this, and it was pretty much caller-driven. I mean, we had some topics and stuff. We had 1 week we raised $171,000 to help stop terminal flatulation. We had a TF telethon. And
could you send that cure down here? I got this co-host who just keeps cutting them.
We can send you over to Sweden and get your colon pierced. And I don't know, we had, you know, it was a lot of fun. It's a damn popular program, and that's what really upset them the most was when they took it off the air. They left me on the other show, which was crazy. I don't know why they'd take me off one and leave me on the other, but people started writing letters, and my producer got on the net and put out a press release, and Wired Magazine wrote about it, and all of a sudden they start getting complaints about me being removed. Now they're unhappy about the fact that they have to, as the manager put it from the fly on the wall, deal with this poop. As he didn't exactly use that kind of language, but he said he'd just as soon go to automated radio than have to deal with this. And I thought, well, that's no way to deal with an air personality. If you have one problem, a major problem in his view, that I said the F word, well, the board op was never shown anything that said, you know, you're not supposed to say the 7 dirty words. And they had a little meeting, and they said, did you see this? And he said, no. And they said, oh, well, guess what? You're fired. So they fired him a couple days ago. It took a month for them to finally get rid of my board operator.
Well, the show was just you and your board op?
Yep.
You didn't, there's no co-host or
no.
Wacky sidekick?
No, just me. I don't know if you ever heard of a guy named Gary D.
No.
Okay, he bounced around Ohio for a while, but yeah, the show was similar to that, I guess. A guy named Steve Wainstead wrote an article about it in a local magazine. His description of my show was a Gary D-styled entertainment program with Gilly as the central figure, a sort of ghost of radio past trying to breathe life into the dull tedium of modern AM talk radio.
Hey, he's reading his press releases now.
So, you know, it was a fun show, and it went along well, and I like the way you put it before the program when you said, tell me about your fall. It's like, well, I don't think I'm falling. I think I'm just moving stations.
Well, that's right. Now that you got a little controversy behind you, maybe even some newspaper clippings about the whole thing, you could really get a big job now like that Grant character did. Did you hear about that Grant guy?
Bob Grant?
Yeah, Bob Grant. I mean, yeah. He's a potty mouth. He's an insensitive jerk, and now he's a millionaire.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a potty mouth, but I can be an insensitive jerk, I guess. Can't we all?
Well, that's your choice. All right, so let's get into this poem here. You read this poem. We're going to let you read it right now. Well, we're going to preface it by saying that WAIF is a community radio station and serves only to broadcast to the needs of the few, the many, the proud, and the Marines. If you don't like this kind of programming and if you don't want to hear the F word, turn your radio off now. Let me get back to your needlepoint.
Let me preface this by saying if I wanted to read until it got to the F word, it would take me about 6 minutes. Do you want me to just start somewhere in and...
I want you to do what you did on your show up there in Cleveland. If we don't like it, we'll just hang up on you.
All right, I'll give you the whole thing.
Okay. Now, you want a little special, like, music for it?
Anything. You got something bouncy in the background. Got some jazz. Got some, I played something called Las Vegas Grind underneath it, but...
Well, how's this? This is the Bali Ha. The Bali Ha by Martin Denny. You like that?
All right.
Okay, we'll use that. Ready?
Go. All right. All right. Here, I'll start. I'm going to give you a page and a half of it here because it's just really long, but here we go. Who loaned it through the streets of Idaho seeking visionary Indian angels who were visionary Indian angels, who thought they were only mad when Baltimore gleamed in supernatural ecstasy who jumped in limousines with the Chinamen of Oklahoma on the impulse of winter midnight streetlight small-town rain, who lounged hungry and lonesome through Houston seeking jazz or sex or soup, and followed the brilliant Spaniard to converse about America and eternity, a hopeless task, and so took ship to Africa, who disappeared into the volcanoes of Mexico, leaving nothing behind but the shadow of dungarees and the lava and ash of poetry scattered in the fireplace Chicago, who reappeared on the West Coast investigating the FBI in beards and shorts with big pacifist eyes, sexy in their dark skin, passing out incomprehensible leaflets, who bit detectives in the neck and shrieked with delight in police cars for committing no crime but their own wild cooking pederasty and intoxication, who howled on their knees in the subway and were dragged off the roof waving genitals and manuscripts, who let themselves be fucked in the ass by saintly motorcyclists and screamed with joy, who lost their love boys to the three old shrews of fate, the one-eyed shrew of the heterosexual dollar, the one-eyed shrew that winks out of the womb, and the one-eyed shrew that does nothing but sit on her ass and snip the intellectual golden threads of the craftsman's loom.
Wow.
And that got you fired.
That got me fired.
Well, when you're quoting American poetry and American art, isn't it just like a Mapplethorpe picture, whether it's a flower or a naked little boy? It's still that veneered thing we call art.
Well, apparently not, you know, not around WERE Cleveland.
Well, this is not WERE Cleveland. This is WAIF Cincinnati, and now Rob's going to read you a little poem he wrote.
Thank you.
But, you know, you're doing a tribute to a dead guy. Here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, we think we should beat death and do tributes to guys that are still alive.
Okay.
Do I get the same music or do I get different music?
You want some different? Here, use this music. This is better for the person we're going to play tribute to tonight. Here it comes.
Hello, Buck Owens. Greetings from one who never knew you. Are you picking or are you grinning? Are you grinning or are you picking? You are both. You are Buck Owens. You got your overalls on backwards. You don't care. Why should you? You're Buck Owens. Tell Garth to go screw a pig if you want. You can. You're Buck Owens. Kenny Rogers has chicken. Ha ha. Kenny Rogers got a whole chicken chain. Kenny Grease. Kenny Chicken. Kenny Gambler. Kenny Liposuction. Screw him. You're Buck Rogers. You got a red, white, and blue guitar and a band hotter than Rosie Perez's crotch on an August evening after a for holy dinner. You can be Buck Rogers or Buck Owens or whoever you want because you're Buck Owens.
Darth
the king
Vader.
Of Bakersfield.
You can be Darth Vader.
You didn't run up Tim.
Keep going.
This was poetry until you screwed it up.
Sorry.
You Buck Owens, baddest of the bad. You could whip both Hager brothers, then screw Misty Rowe all night long while Lulu Roman watched and Grandpa Jones sipped moonshine and played banjo, but you never did. But you could have. You're Buck Owens. Greetings from one who never knew you.
What'd you think of that?
I think it was beautiful.
Did you like the part about Rosie Perez's crotch after a Frijole dinner?
Absolutely. It conjured up images.
Thanks, Gilly.
Hey, thank you.
Talk to you soon. Let us know when you get a real job.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
They say for everybody there is a fool, and that's the way it's always been between me and you. Anytime you're ready, you treat me like a friend, 'cause you know that I'm just fool enough to take you back again. Yes, I'm nobody's fool. Nobody's fool. Nobody's fool but yours. And although you do me wrong, I still tag along, 'cause I'm nobody's fool but yours. falsely accuse me of doing you wrong. That's just an excuse you use to string me along. A toy to play with, and when you are through, you'll throw me away and find somebody new. But I'm nobody's fool, nobody's fool, nobody's fool but you. And although you do me wrong, I still tag along, 'cause I'm nobody's fool but you.
Now it's time to join Chris and Rob in the wacky world of telephone harassment for celebrity answering machines, where Chris and Rob call one of your favorite celebrities, and if no one is home, they leave a message on today's celebrity answering machine. So sit back, relax, kick up your feet, and pop open a cold one as we join Chris and Rob for celebrity answering machines.
Stretching the definition of celebrity until it almost breaks. We are calling Dick Morris.
Hello, is Dick Morrison, please?
No, who's calling?
This is Chris.
And I'm Rob.
You know when I'll be back?
I'm sorry, who's calling?
Chris and Rob. That's us.
He won't be back until later.
So, okay, we're going to try Dick Morris's other number.
Wow. Dick Morris is worth two calls?
Well, we'll just see if he's at the other number.
Okay, Chris.
I don't know who that woman was that hung up on us.
She was very cool.
She was mean.
She was nice.
She was mean.
Well, we were being morons and she hung up on us. I like when people do that. Don't be pushed around by people on the other end of the phone. That's my motto.
Okay.
You know, I like to hang up on people. I do it quite often.
Yeah, I know you do, punk.
Although you hung up on me
yesterday. Dick Morris, if it's urgent, please page me at 1-800. If this is to book a media appearance, please call Maureen Maxwell at 610-404-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-
Well, hello, Dick Morris. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show from Cincinnati. And we want to tell you, we think you did the best presidential consulting job of all time.
Well, Michael Deaver did some great stuff with Reagan, the Bitburg, that whole thing. It was terrific.
Who was John Quincy Adams' number one advisor?
You know, it seems like back in the old days, they didn't have spin doctors.
But nowadays they do, and that's why guys like you are so special.
That's why we're so sophisticated nowadays. Back in the old days, you just pretty much try to tell the truth. But now, thanks to guys like Dick Morris, we can put spin on things and see how they play in the media. And for that, the population of America is grateful.
We thank you, Dick Morris. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Later.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Celebrity Answering Machines. And make sure you tune in next time when Chris and Rob call another one of your favorite celebrities right here on the Chris and Rob Celebrity Answering Machines.
Thanks, Andy. Who should we call next week?
Oh, I don't know. I'm so giddy with excitement.
We could call anyone you want.
I hope it's someone else who can talk backwards.
I know every celebrity ever, so we could call any of them. Should we call James Brown the Godfather of Soul next week?
I just like it when they give their phone number and they talk backwards.
Oh.
That's really cool. Let's take a call.
Okay, you want to take a call? Let's tell them this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
749-1444. 961-8900 if you want to make a pledge. Hey, Glenn, what's shaking?
I just heard that Buck Owens tune, Nobody's Fool But Mine.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of country music I like, and it's a shame no one plays that around here.
I tell you what, man. It absolutely breaks my heart that you can't find the good country music from the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
You like Jimmy Rogers?
The original Jimmy Rogers. He goes back to the 30s, the one I'm thinking.
You're talking about the singing brakeman, that Jimmy Rogers?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Not the honeycomb Jimmy Rogers?
Uh-huh.
Well, he was out in the later 50s. He was more like a rock and roll artist. Honeycomb.
But the old Buck Owens, the old George Jones, that old Merle Haggard. The
Waylon Jennings, you like that old Waylon?
Some of his stuff I like, some of it all depends.
It's hard to find that stuff anywhere, and you will not find it on a radio dial. If you listen to... the only country station I ever listen to is the 99.1 out of Dayton. And they're awful. It's just, they'll say, you know, your favorite hits of yesterday and all of your... No, your favorite familiar...
Don't they call that stuff young country?
Your familiar favorites of yesterday along with today's hottest hits. And what they mean by that is the brand new song by Garth Brooks and the song that came off of one of Garth Brooks' albums back in 92.
Right.
And you will not find like Buck Owens, that kind of stuff, anywhere.
Glenn, do you like that young country that all the kids are crazy about these days?
Well, some of it I might like. You know, I turn it off and on sometimes. Some of it might be good. All depends.
Yeah, the biggest percentage of that is just absolutely brutal. Just, I mean, there are some, it seems like all the interesting songs on young country are done by women anymore, and the guys are all just...
And a lot of times they're imitating, you know, old artists anyway, like that little 13-year-old girl, it sounds like Patsy Cline.
Leanne Rimes?
Yeah, I mean, nobody has an original sound anymore, except for maybe Dwight Yoakam. Glenn, you like Dwight Yoakam?
Some of his stuff I like, see... The way, when it comes to country music, as long as it's pure and wholesome, I like it. But when they put pop in it or water it down, then I don't like it. I'm strictly a purist when it comes to country. But I know Dwight Yoakam did have a lot of good stuff that I did like, but then he had stuff that more or less leaned toward the rock and roll era also. See, what it all boils down to, these stations, if it's too country, they won't play it.
Oh, exactly.
And that just isn't fair for the people that really like and are dedicated to pure hardcore country.
Alison Krauss, she couldn't get played until, you know, she kind of put a couple pop elements into her stuff. When she was hardcore, almost bluegrass country, you know, she couldn't get anything played. But, you know, now she can get some stuff played now that she's doing more traditional Nashville crapola.
It really is a shame, and I kind of wish Congress would pass laws that they can't take country music and destroy it. That's all they did to it.
I think that would be some good legislation. Maybe we can try to put that together. Have you tried writing your congressman?
That would be a real good idea.
You're from what? Where? You're from Westwood?
Right.
Who's a congressman for Westwood? Would that be Boehner or is that Glenn?
The Shabbat?
Steve Shabbat.
Tell Shabbat two things. Get a real haircut. The comb over sucks.
Right on.
And...
I hear that.
Let's get a law protecting pure country music. We'll call it the Anti-Shania Twain Act of 1997.
Can we name it after Glenn?
We'll call it the Glenn Anti-Shania Twain Act. How's that sound, Glenn?
Are you following us so far, Glenn?
Yeah.
We're working with you here a little bit. I mean, I don't know if, you know, to be quite honest with you, I don't know if legal action is really appropriate. I mean, nobody wants the government peering in and poking on their lives. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean.
We're all freedom lovers here, and we're all professional freedom seekers.
Right.
But I do think, you know, to a certain extent, there's some things you need legislation for, like murder. Right?
Oh, yeah. Certain things you have to have.
Like, murder is bad. We'd all agree on that, wouldn't we?
Right.
And there's some other things, too, like robbery and theft.
Right.
But I don't think that making things like bad country music illegal is really the answer to this country's problems. That would be like saying, that if you're growing a green leafy weed in your backyard and making it illegal. You know what I'm saying?
True.
I mean, so, you know, you don't want to infringe on anybody's right. I mean, Glenn, you and I, my co-host Rob, we got good taste. But that's not accounting for all those people that got bad taste. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We should just let them be and wallow in their own bad taste. Right?
Right.
Amen, brother.
Thanks a lot, Glenn.
Okay.
Lighter.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Although I think, you know, we can all agree on murder. We can all agree on robbery. And we can all agree on bad country music being a big problem in this country.
You know, a lot of people I know say, I don't like country music. Blanket statement. And I'm like, well, why not? Because country music sounds bad. I'm like, these people never listen to the good country music. It's like anything. You can say, I don't like rock and roll or I don't like jazz. But not until they listen to some really good rock and roll or jazz or show tunes. A lot of people say, I don't like show tunes. But man, when they hear West Side Story, they could be converted.
Not West Side Story. Maybe the Music Man would convert
not the Music Man.
Tune.
That's awful. The Music
West
Man
Side
is one of the worst ones.
West Side Story would convert no one.
Officer Krupke. Yeah, Officer Krupke all the way. It's 1:30 in the morning. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. You can look for thunderstorms this coming weekend. Up until then, it's going to maintain kind of like a warm, sticky, kind of sticky and warm.
I don't know, but I know what you're saying. There's a lot of you suburb types that just hate country music right out of the chute. You know absolutely nothing about it, and you just put it down when you're talking about stuff that you have no comprehension of. You don't know what it is. It's just pathetic, and it just really hurts me. You should listen to country music if you're going to dog it. I tell you what, it's not country, but it's damn good. The band called the V-Roys are coming to Southgate House on June 6th.
June 6th?
June 6th at the Southgate House. That's very big. Also, that same night, Hamilton's having their Appalachian Festival.
When it comes to country music, there's no better country music than the Truck and Bozo Show. So we're going to call the Truck and Bozo. Put that on hold. We're going to call the Truck and Bozo Show here. Yeah, it gets up there. So we're calling the Truck and Bozo. We'll see if the Bodo feels like answering the phone.
What about the Baby Bodo?
But, yeah, Baby Bodo might answer the phone too. So we're going to give Bozo a shot here. And if there's no Bodo, we're going to have to push on. What do you think?
So June 6th, there are your entertainment options. The Hamilton Appalachian Society, Hapso Festival, downtown Hamilton, and also the V-Roys at the Southgate House. So if you live south, go see the V-Roys. If you live north, well, what do you think? What do you know? You can go see...
guess what? No Bodo. Hapso. We're gonna try our alternative Bodo number, and then if there's no Bodo, we're going to give up and move on. What do you think of that?
I don't know, man. I don't know what to think about it. I don't know what the hell you're doing. I don't know why you're calling this. I don't know who this Bozo character is.
He does that overnight trucking
the
show.
The clown? Was he the clown?
Coast to coast with the Bozo.
I wonder if he washes his hands a lot.
You think he does?
We'll talk about that later.
Studio.
Hey, is this the Truckin' Bozo show?
It is.
Hey, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and we demand to talk to the Truckin' Bozo.
You're out of luck.
Why is that?
He ain't here.
What's he doing? Is he on a Bozo boat today?
It's Bozo vacation time.
Well, we're on the air here at the mighty WAIF, Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, your radio pals. And some people have been calling in tonight wanting to talk about country music, so we thought we'd go to the top.
Oh, boy.
What do you think of the difference between good country music and bad country music? So far, our definition of good country music versus bad country music has involved adding the pop element in order to get airplay, in order to sell records.
You know what it means to be on the air? Well I got to do the same thing. I got to put you on hold.
Can we hear you? Are you going to give weather?
Well, hang on a second.
We're going to get a little weather here.
There we go.
Now there's
back with more. This is the Truck and Bozo Show on the big one. 25 away from the top of the hour now.
Bozo?
That's
one
a little Bozo.
Up. It's toll free
medium
anywhere
Bozo.
In North
medium
America.
Bozo.
1-888-860-TRUK.
T-R-U-K.
T-R-U-K. Our own special unique spelling of truck. We'll check out some weather around the country coming up. Again, Steve Summers in for the Bozo. Bo's taking some vacation time.
He's just in Vegas.
He'll be back, next Monday night, Tuesday morning. Monday, of course, being the official holiday, the day observing Memorial Day, 1997. And I knew it was a full moon. Or it is a full moon. Some of the calls that are coming in here.
We have a full moon coming up.
Talking about us.
Want to dial us up here again is the number 1-888-860-TRUK. That's 860.
That's their own alternative spelling of truck.
They're like rappers or something.
That's not a trucker spell truck, T-R-U-K. Are you back? What happened?
Hello.
Hey, are you back?
I'm back.
Hey, is there a full moon tonight?
Yep.
Hey, so we're live on the radio here, and we want to talk to you, the Truckin' Bozo Jr., about, what do you call yourself anyway?
You can call me Doofus.
Doofus? Because we want to introduce you to our listeners on this end of the dial. You know, we're at the bottom of your dial.
whenever we have a country music question, we always immediately go to the Bozo, and he used to simulcast with us all the time, but he quit doing that when he became a big shot.
Oh, okay.
When he became the BWO.
The Bozo World Order.
Hey, Doofus, you know what I heard?
There's no telling.
Sheep.
Nah.
Yeah, something like that. So anyway, give us your definition of good country music versus bad country music. I want to know what the staff of the Truckin' Bozo Show has to say about that topic.
the definition of good country music?
Yeah, what makes a good country song a damn good country song?
It's got to sound country. It's got to have some twang.
Twang.
Got to have some steel guitar.
Write down twang and steel guitar.
Yeah.
What about divorce and, like, whiskey?
That has nothing to do with it.
What about chicks in leather pants like Tanya Tucker?
Lyrics don't count in my book.
It's all about the guitar?
It's all about the sound.
What about bass? Should the bass only be playing, like, major fifths?
Travis Tritt has a good one going with the bass there, you know. Mm-hmm. You heard his latest one?
Write down Travis Tritt.
Travis Tritt.
What's his new one?
She's With Me.
And what about that Shaver? Now, you're talking about some hot, sizzling country.
He's a mean mother trucker.
Shaver.
That's the one.
It's just the that and Georgia on a Southbound, honey.
Yeah.
Those are some hot songs. So when did you become a country fan?
I'm not necessarily a country fan.
When he was a baby, I'm sure.
I've been doing country music for about 10 years now. So.
Really?
Yeah.
What about Diesel? Where's he fit into all this country music?
He pushing the button.
Good for Diesel. All right, we'll let you get back to work. Tell the bozo he said howdy.
All right, dude.
Okay. Later.
See ya.
I'm queuing up some country music.
All right, we're getting some country music ready to go. 749-1444, 961-8900 for your calls or your pledge. Is this good or bad country?
This is Buck.
Oh, it's good country.
Yeah.
You got me under your spell again. Saying those things again, making me believe that you're just mine. You got me dreaming those dreams again, thinking those things again. I've gotta take you back just one more time. I swore the last time that you let me down. If you came around, but I can't tell my heart what's right or wrong. And I've been so lonely since you've been gone. You've got me under your spell again, saying those things again, making me believe that you're just mine. Take you back just one more time.
Buck. Say it ain't so, Buck.
Buck Owens. Man, doesn't get any better than that.
It's 20 minutes until 2. The B-Boys Underground are coming up next. But until then, you got your radio pals. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
That's us, the Chris and Rob, a late-night talk show. 749-1444. If you want to get in on this, we got a little more Buck Owens coming up, too, boy.
You know, I think it was Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great American poet who once noted, this is my Garrison Keillor voice, that if you build a better mousetrap, the world will beat a path to your door.
But that's not necessarily true in the country music industry, because you can write a better country song, but that doesn't mean that country radio is going to play it. If it's too country, it's not for us.
But the latest, better mousetrap to have been built is the Hygiene Guard. It was unveiled at the National Restaurant Association trade show in Chicago.
Hygiene Guard?
Here, listen to how this bad boy works.
Okay, this ought to be good. Hey, you know Hygiene Guard music?
Oh, God, I'd love it. It uses infrared sensors to track employees' use of sink and soap in company wash. Notice how I said wash, even though I'm from Southern Ohio. Wash, not wash, washrooms. The Tropicana, or as we call it, the Trop, in Atlantic City, in the Beaumont Army Medical Center in El Paso, or as we call it, Lamont, will test the product this summer. Employees wear a badge that triggers an infrared sensor as they enter the restroom.
Oh, my God.
A second sensor at the soap dispenser activates if they stay at the sink for at least 15 seconds. Skip the sink, and the sensor knows. The badge blinks.
This is kind of like Big Brother is watching you.
Yeah, but I tell you
what.
The
manager is watching you.
I tell you what. Tell you what. This is no laughing matter. Americans, not that many years ago, and like in the 50s, were fanatical about washing their hands when they got done playing with their winky.
Huh?
Going to the bathroom.
What's going to the bathroom got to do with playing with your winky?
I generally, sometimes, you know, sometimes my lizard comes out without having to touch it. But sometimes I have to actually go in there and grab it and pull it out, if you know what I'm saying.
When it's limp, huh?
What I'm saying.
Okay.
I have to reel it out.
749-1444. If you, yourself, are in the food industry business, the food service industry, if you're a server or a waiter or a waitress or a chef or a cook, or even a salad guy, give us a call, 749-1444. How would you like it when your boss knows
hey,
every time you go to the job?
No, well, they should. I should also have these on, like, cigarettes, because people put their fingers to their mouth, and that's, like, the most dirty thing you can do. There is a case, not that, and you can die from this stuff. I mean, Americans nowadays, I think it's because we're so used to fast food, because if you eat at home, generally, people still wash their hands before they eat. But when you go to McDonald's, you almost never, for some reason, people don't wash their hands before they eat. We've gotten out of the habit of washing our hands, and it's been bad for the country. It's been bad for our health, getting out of this hand-washing habit. Up in Dayton, not that long ago, there was a case at an Arby's where everybody who ate in that restaurant that afternoon got deathly ill. Could have died. Very easily could have died. They were extremely sick. The health inspectors went to the restaurant and were just absolutely shocked, surprised at what a neat, clean restaurant it was. They could not believe how sparkly, shiny.
Well, then what was it that made all those folks
sick? A guy didn't wash his hands when he got done peeing. That's what made everybody sick. The restaurant was sparkling. Because of this,
we should make all the employees wear little badges.
It's sad to say that it has to come to
this. Don't you think this is a violation of your?
No, no, not at all. I mean, if you accept a job as some sort of food service handler, part of that job is you agree that every time you smoke a cigarette, you're going to go wash your hands. Every time you go to the garbage can and throw something in there, you're going to wash your hands. Every time you scratch your face, you're going to wash your hands. Every time you play with your rooster, you're going to wash your hands.
What about when you pick your nose?
What about when you play with your fuzz box? If you happen to be one of those types, you're going to wash your hands.
Check?
Yeah. If you got to play with your barking spider, you have to wash your hands when you get done. That's just part of the deal. That's part of the drill. If you're going to work in food service preparation or handling of any type, you have to do these sort of things.
Robin, in your long list of careers and jobs you've had over your life, have you ever been in the food service business? You. Have you ever been in the food service business? Not at all. Nada.
Yeah, no, sure. Why not? Yes, I have. Sure, why not?
What did you do and where'd you work?
I was a cook.
Where at?
In the Army.
You were an Army chef. Did the Army make you go wash your hands?
Oh, God. They didn't mess around with that. They didn't mess around with that at all. If you scratched your forehead, boom, you went and washed your hands. They were very clean about that stuff. And they had to be because You couldn't afford to have everybody sick when you were supposed to go out and, you know, kick some commie ass. You couldn't have everybody doubled up in abdominal cramps because someone wanted to be Joe Cool and pick the gum off a shoe and not wash his hands. If you go to the bathroom, you have to wash your hands. This is not going, this cannot go far enough because it won't do anything about cigarettes, about scratching yourself. You could still reach in there and have a good old scratch on the scrotum, and no one would ever make you go wash your hands. You should have to wash your hands. If you work at a restaurant, you should have to wash your hands. And that's just the way it is. Terry, what's going on? Are you one of those guys saying your phone number's backwards?
No, I was speaking backwards.
What did you say?
I said that if anyone who's ever eaten at a restaurant, they've probably tasted someone's snot or earwax or dandruff.
You know what the worst thing is? You know what I always heard the worst thing was? I just heard this recently, actually. Some guy told me and grossed me out. You know, like you go, you're leaving a restaurant, and at the maitre d' stand, they have like a bowl of mint sitting out, like a little spoon in the mints, and you just dip out a few mints, throw them in your hand, and pop them in your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
I heard you should never, ever, ever, ever... under any circumstances, get those mints because people go in there, shake Los Lizardos, not wash their mitts, come out, shove their meat cleavers into the mints, and basically get their tinkle all over all the other mints. And that they've done studies and they'll find out that, you know, they break down chemical traces in parts per million usually, and they'll find out that the PPM of PP in those mints, being the M, is amazingly high. There's tons of PP in those mints, and you want nothing to do with them.
Oh, I could beat that. There's this bakery in Haverhill, Massachusetts called the Fantini Bakery. If you're ever up there, never go there.
Okay.
Because I used to know someone would work there, and they said early in the morning, the bakers would go and basically ejaculate into the bread dough.
Oh, you're making this up.
No, I'm not.
I remember once being down at this little, it was a Blues Cafe. I was at this Blues Cafe down near the university that's not in business anymore.
The Purple Grotto.
But it has a different name now, but I'm not going to say what it is. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. And they had this peanut machine. You put a quarter or 50 cent in, you get a handful of peanuts.
Oh, no.
And
no,
I
no.
look in the machine, and there's this little baby roach, cute as a dimple on a baby's ass, jumping from cashew to cashew. Boing, boing.
Those things are notorious. Those are
you know, I never ate those peanuts out of those vending machines in the first place, but boy, now I'm not even letting my friends
eat. Yeah, those things
out.
Are notorious.
That's why you should never tick off people in the kitchens, because I used to work at one of those pizza places that has the one phone number, and if someone was really rude to us or would, you know, piss on us, basically, you would do something to their food.
Like what?
Oh, you'd cough, or you'd wipe your nose, or hack, or, you know, that's about the closest we ever got to it. We never put any fecal matter in there.
Well, a friend of mine who says he knows a guy who knows a guy who worked at Taco Bell, I'm not even going there. So, you got
Taco
anything else,
Bell.
Terry? Anyway, this guy, the principal from this guy's high school
what
comes into
cute.
The Taco Bell, anyway. All right. Well, anything else, Terry?
You know, if you become an educator, you're basically saying... you don't want to eat in public anymore, ever again.
That's true.
Same thing being a cop.
If you're a cop, you never want to eat in public again.
And all cops do is get free White Castles, free fried chicken, and of course,
and donuts.
Free donuts!
But then the funny thing is, people have these hang-ups about food, and they'll say, oh, I'm not going to touch this, or I want that. And then you just say, have you ever eaten at a restaurant? And leave it at that. Because if you've ever eaten at fast food, or even the fanciest restaurants, there's some slime ball in the back.
Well, Jay Leno used to have a line... about people before they take aspirin, they want it to be, you know, sealed with the plastic wrap. They want it to be safety sealed.
Oh God!
They want there to be a seal across the top of the aspirin.
Remember Tylenol?
And they want, you know, and they want the cotton in there and everything, because they want to be safe. They want to make sure they know exactly what they're taking. But then the next time they're going through the grocery store and some guy hands them a sausage on a toothpick, they go, "Oh yeah, Jay, you're great. Let me have that."
I kind of wouldn't mind getting a toy surprise in my next bottle of aspirin.
You can just eat the chewable ones.
Oh, yeah, I mean, people, ugh, how can you eat that? That's gross.
Well, let me ask you something, Terry.
Sure.
If Buck Owens came out with a new record today and he was cutting songs by Simon and Garfunkel, which song do you think he would cut first?
Oh, boy. Feeling groovy.
You think that one? What do you think, Jim? If Buck Owens was going to come out with a Simon and Garfunkel song, what song do you think? No, it wouldn't be Mrs. Robinson. What about you, Rob?
Condo Se Passa.
No, it wouldn't be
I'd
that
rather
one.
Be a hammer than a nail.
It would probably be A Bridge Over Troubled Water. Thanks, Terry.
See ya.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. Oh, when times get rough,
say whatever you want, but I think he did a damn good job with that. Buck Owens doing that Simon and Garfunkel classic. It's a Chris and Rob late night talk show. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Chris and Rob.
What's on your mind?
And that's the song I would have guessed him to do. You know, you're driving along, you hear that. Yes, that's what he would have done.
Really?
Wonderful, yes. Anyway, last week I'm watching a cooking show on Channel 48, and the chef's going to wrap up some fruit and some delicate little pastry product. He gets it out of the refrigerator, takes off the cellophane, unrolls it, and the first thing he does, just like the quarterback, or just like you pass him through some papers, he licks his fingers, grabs the pastry and lays it down, throws some butter on it, goes over to the, grabs some more pastry, licks his fingers. This is a guy cooking, and he's sticking his fingers in his mouth and putting it over my dessert.
Yum, yum.
On television.
Well, this is like a national guy, like the Galloping Gourmet or something?
And something like that. I've never seen this guy before, but no, it wasn't her, and it wasn't that Chinese guy.
Wasn't Yan Kin Cook?
No, it wasn't.
Lock and Wall?
No, just some guy doing his show.
Taking a walk?
Yeah, exactly.
Take a walk on the wild side?
Scott, yeah, you sound like you're on one of those mobile car phones.
Yeah, I'm down in a hole right now.
Where are you heading?
Heading to Milford.
Where are you at right now?
Just crossed the river.
Really? How's the river look tonight?
The river looks just fine.
What are you going to do in Milford when you get there?
Go home, go to bed.
Oh, yeah? Is that where you live?
Yes.
Milford's a nice part of town.
It's not bad. It's a little far from the airport, but...
What do you do at the airport?
Work at a car rental company.
Yeah, you're breaking up too there, baby.
All right, gotta go.
Catch us next week, Scott. We love you, babe. Don't go changing. And this has been another edition of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Tune in next week for another stellar program that I'm sure you and your family will enjoy.
Bye.
Bye.
See, hey, you know what I hope?
What do you hope?
I hope at Tiger Woods... goes to sign an endorsement deal with somebody, like Visa. He slips and falls, and the pen goes through his neck. It sticks out the back of his spinal column.
What do you got against Tiger?
And it knocks out all his teeth, and he gets normal-sized teeth. And so these enormous Ali Dar-looking giant horse secretariat teeth. And then,
once again, what do you got against Tiger?
And then he goes to play golf. And it hurts his neck really bad to swing. so he can't do it, so he has to, like, shorten up a swing a lot, and then he starts sucking.
Well, you know what I hope?
What?
I hope that the Reds win 70% more of their games so that they can finish the season over 500.
Good for you. But that's what that's my wish for the world.
Well, I'm not as evil-minded and as like death-wishing as you are.
I'm not wishing for
I don't hope
death.
Anyone. I don't,
I'm just hoping
I don't want anyone to get hurt. In fact, I'm hoping we go a whole week without any death or destruction or hurt or sadness.
Okay, timeout. Granted, I too wish that there would be 1 week with no death, destruction, or sadness. But
don't forget pestilence.
But if there has to be any death, destruction, injuries, violence, or pestilence visited upon any earthling this week, I hope it is visited upon Tiger Woods.
We'll be back next week, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
How about like if it rained frogs? And they like bidding.
Until next week, here we are saying have a good time all the time.
Well, are we gone? Is this a real song or is this
no,
what is this?
No, we're out of here. We're going to
porno music again?
Yeah, we're going to finish up with a little with one of these hip new bands.
Oh, yeah, boy.
One of these hip new bands from Seattle on the Sub Pop label.
Oh, yeah.
Goes by the name of Blue Cheer. Catch you later.